Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And Lord, too, I just praise you again for the great news about Thanksgiving and the families that were encouraged. I thank you for them. I thank you for the good news from Haiti. And Lord, we just pray, you know, a blessing on these people and the children, the leaders at Haiti. And God, we know that you're moving in a mighty way that we can't even imagine. So we thank you that we can open your word, look at your truth, and see the deep things that you teach us. I pray you open each heart to receive. I pray you anoint me with the Spirit in a special way that I just speak the words of the Spirit. And so we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Is the title still up there? Are y'all excited about this title? Well, if you're not excited, you can't imagine how I feel about it. When I read the verse, look at James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So you can take a sigh of relief, you know, but I can't. Can you imagine a pastor teacher and say, this is my verse for today? So I'm really excited to approach it this morning and see what it has to say. Well, like all things, Scripture is, you know, God's Word, and He's speaking to us, and He wants us to have clear understanding of the things that He's doing, and He gives us insights into all sorts of situations here. So what we have, what we know is we come upon this verse. It says, in the kingdom of God, there are many gifts and responsibilities. It's so obvious. And likewise, teaching is a gift that comes with divine responsibilities for which the teacher is accountable to. For which the teacher is accountable to. Therefore, it says, therefore, not many should become because they will be judged more strictly for the things they teach God's people. It's, you know, it's kind of a fascinating verse when you read it and you think about teaching and stuff, and it says, you know, you'd be wise not to do this. And that's what he's saying. It says not many people should be doing this. See, and so we want to look at this. The Lord put it here for a reason. We want to look at it and have some understanding. And he puts it here for a reason. So teachers, one of the things like teachers, there's a lot of places you could look, but teachers like elders are required to teach. Teachers like elders who are required to teach, and therefore they have similar responsibilities in their teaching. And so thus we're going to look at what it says about elders and see there's still some application to all teachers, even though they're not elders. And I'm just going to read this to you. I don't have an overhead or anything, and you can just mark it down. But it says in Acts 20:28, talking about the elders that are overseeing the church, and it says this: pay careful attention. So he's talking to these elders, these teachers, says, pay careful attention to yourselves. Notice what he said. Pay careful attention to yourselves, elders, teachers, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. It's the truth, he says, you know. And two, it's important for us to know, you look around, well, how could this happen? How could this happen? At the very beginning, God told us it's going to happen. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen, you know. Be surprised if it doesn't happen, okay, because it's going to happen. So note, first of all, when we look at the teacher, it says, pay careful attention to their own walk with Jesus before they teach God's people. All right? I mean, well, you could say, well, of course. Well, you know, some people think, well, no, we'll just teach and we'll throw something together. I've actually had pastors tell me, well, I got to get something there, throw something together, we'll look something up. And anyway, I can't imagine anyone saying that. I can't imagine you saying that, talking to God's people and using the Word of God, you know. So when someone teaches, a teacher talking, biblical teacher talking to God's people, he should behave like one that's teaching God's God-breathed Word to God's people who he died for and paid the penalty with his own blood. Now, he kind of sets a little different stage here. And I don't, you know, God bless all the teachers in the, you know, elementary school level. But biblical teaching is not teaching a bunch of nursery kids. It's not the same way. No, there's a prep. It's not even like teaching a college course. There's a prep that God expects. And he expects the teacher to get right before him before they present anything. So he says, first thing off, take care about yourself. How do you stand with me? Take care of yourself. Now, the teacher should have a pure heart, confessing his sins and hearing from God. It's like, oh my goodness, how you do that? Easy. How you do it? Well, not easy. You confess your sins, okay? And if you're coming before the message, well, I don't have any sins. Okay, you need to confess that one. I mean, you're so missing everything. You're so missing everything. So you confess your sins. You say, okay, God, as best I can, I'm just clear before everybody. Clear before everybody. And then you hear from God. Okay, God, teach me. Teach me. And then you see that the God will do, he will intervene because God is interested in his people. See, God will intervene because he's interested in his people. And he goes, oh, by the way, this morning I'll use Wallace. Okay. But God's the one that's interested. And so I should really be paying attention, or the teacher should be paying attention to what God is saying. And to pay attention to what God is saying, you better confess your sins so you can hear from God what God is saying. Now, so he's laying this thing here. So only then should a teacher instruct people that God died for. You see what he's saying here? You better pay attention who I'm talking to. He said, well, I know these folks, God. He says, well, I do too. I died for each one of them. Therefore, you better pay attention to me. Confess your sins before you say anything to my people I died for. Now, so all of a sudden, it's, gosh, the whole, you know, oh, so things, the whole atmosphere should be a little change going on here. And teaching, in fact, from this point of view, teaching is just not idle words. The person I've quoted before, a friend of mine, Bill Wright, and he's so, you know, God speaking at you through the scriptures, and he really helped me a lot to hear from God. And he goes, if you read the scriptures and you don't hear from God, he says they're just dead letters on a page. He had a way of expressing himself, you know. And it's like, oh my gosh. And so it's, let's speak to me. So every time I open the Bible, because of him, these are not dead letters. These letters are alive. So speak to, and this is what this verse, is addressing, teaching. And you should be encouraged. Now, God's addressing, he's talking to all of you, and all of you should hear, you know, from the Word. But he's talking specifically right here to teachers. Don't you dare speak to my people that I've died for unless you heard from me. Yeah. All right. It's not just idle words. Biblical teaching is proclaiming the transforming Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Well, there's no pressure there. You're going to speak out the transforming power of God. So, now, I kind of realize that because I joke around, but I usually tell you beforehand, I'm joking. You know, because I don't want you ever to confuse my jokes with God. Because Linda and God don't think they're funny. Just let you know. But, so the power-filled biblical teaching is necessary to fight off the fierce wolves that come in to destroy the flock by twisting the Word of God. Now, that's what Acts says. That's what it says in 2 Timothy. That's what it says all throughout the Scripture. Now, while we'll reinforce, it says, you know, that it's necessary to fight off the fierce wolves. And it's just a little preposition here. It doesn't say if they come. It says when they come. They're coming. They're coming. All you have to do is just say, I want to proclaim the word. I want to preach the word. They're coming. They're going to come, you know. And then the frightening thing, and of course, we don't have that to worry about here, but especially bigger churches, says they'll come within the body. They'll come within the body. And so how does God handle that? How does God handle that? He says, well, I'll have teachers that will preach the word. It'll be my word, you know, preach the word. This reminds me of a thing. You know, the Lord all the time says things, and you say, gosh, I don't know why you do this way. You know, but there's one parable, and I understand what's happening. It's real clear. I just don't understand why. But God says, there's in the Mideast, there's wheat, raised. Well, there's a weed that has a different name. It looks just like the wheat. Just like it. So you plant it and it grows up. When it's green, it all looks the same. And you never know until it's full grown that it's bad. It has to full grown before you know it's bad, like that. And the angel said, well, we'll just gather up all that and throw it up. He said, no, just let it grow up together. Because if you pull up the bad, you're going to pull up some of the good. Because you see it, but other people don't. So you just got to let it grow up together. Well, now that throws a twist to teaching. So what do you? You just continue to teach the word. You know, and what happens over prayer, everything grows up. And then at one point, you recognize it. At one point. Okay, so this whole thing is tied together. That's what's tying together here. And so, but the fierce wolves will come. You just need to be aware of that. I could go in some stories, and they'd be quite entertaining, but we'll just skip those for right now. It's just where you shake your head, and you couldn't believe what happened. You absolutely couldn't believe what happened. Now, so teachers in this whole thing, and God says, by the way, not many of you should be teachers. So he just starts off with that. All right. Why? Because you judge more strictly. Okay? A teacher's going to get more heat than anybody else in the congregation from the people and from God. So that's what he's saying. And so he's not being proactive about being a teacher. So teachers, the ones that are teaching, that fail to equip and protect the flock will be judged more strictly. Have a job. Okay, a job. Well, you're speaking to God's people that he died for. He shed his blood for the people. Therefore, what he uses teachers to do, that look at the word and you teach, it's to equip the people he died for. You equip them. All the different gifts, you equip them. And you, when you teach them, you protect them. You protect them. Because at some point, they're going to say, wait a minute, this wheat I thought I was growing up with is not wheat after all. You know, but you'll recognize it. And also the responsibility of the teacher is just to teach and equip people so they can recognize it. The one thing I've learned, it's not in this session, in this section, but something I personally learned, is like, I can't make anybody do anything. Can't make it happen. And God so faithfully spoke to me, he goes, you're not supposed to. That's my job. You preach the word and let me take care of that. It's not your job to make anybody do anything. And so here we have, and this is speaking to the church as a whole, but he's speaking to teachers in this context. No overhead, but you can just listen as I go through it. And in Romans 16, 17 through 18. Romans 16, 17 through 18. I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who cause divisions, and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have been taught. There's a basis. There's a doctrine, a base doctrine. And it says, avoid them. Avoid them. Cause divisions. Create obstacles. Avoid them. It's contrary to the doctrine you have been taught. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Or I'll put in the untaught. Okay, the untaught. Haven't you heard, you know, like smooth talk and flattery, you know? And so, again, it's the warning is here, and it's going to happen. Okay, it's going to happen. Well, what you do? He said, no, teachers, gifting. And then through teaching of the word, then they can recognize it. Then they will be able to get through this situation. See, that's the equipping. Now, you all know this, but it's just so fascinating that Satan knows Scripture. Did you know, other than the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself, that Satan knows Scripture better than any of us? I had a guy argue with me one time. He must have had maybe full of himself. I don't know. I told him, he said, that's just not true. That's not true. I said, it is true. I said, you know, you think you're smarter than Satan? He said, absolutely, I'm smarter than Satan. All right. I just think he's one of those guys you avoid, personally. But anyway, the thing, Satan is brilliant, and he's got thousands and thousands of years of experience. You know, he can write a wonderful psychological class. He knows people. He knows people. All right, just that. He can't read your mind. You like that? But he knows people. He knows how to deceive. And he knows Scripture well. If you remember, I love it, on the temptation, he tempts Jesus with Scripture. You know how Jesus answered him? With Scripture. Yeah, it's like that. And when Satan argued with Jesus with Scripture, Jesus never said, you're wrong. He didn't say that. He never said it wrong. He said, no, here's another Scripture. See? Because Satan didn't say it wrong. He said it exactly right. Now, he misused it. He misused it. And he's bold enough to go one-on-one with Jesus. All right? So what I'm saying, he's not one to be fooled around with, you know, and he's one to be aware of. And it's good to know that he exists, you know, and that he is the instigator of the ferocious wolves that come in. The ferocious wolves. And so he knows well, the Scriptures well, and it says he disguises himself as an angel of light. You know, people say, I had a word from the angel. I said, maybe. You know, don't jump on that too quick. You know, because he disguises him. I mean, God said that. He disguises himself as an angel of light. God looks good. God looks good. I can tell you one way he doesn't look. He doesn't have horns and a tail. Yeah. The boy looks good. Okay? He looks good. All right? And so it's not surprising that Satan disguises himself. So it's not surprising that he has servants that disguise themselves. He has human servants that disguise themselves. That's what the Bible tells us. How could that happen? How could it not happen is what we should say. We live in the grace of God, and they say, oh my God, you protect me. Protect me in this craziness, in this crazy world. Okay, so Satan has human servants. So just to throw it out there, so be aware, you know, of why not many should be teachers. Listen to what in 2 Corinthians, I don't have an overhead here either, but 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 15, and it talks again, this is what you're dealing with, okay, this is what you're dealing with, and this is the reason I need teachers, but they're going to really be under strict judgment. So listen to what he says here. Within the church, says this, for there are false apostles. They could be, they might be, maybe. No, there are right now false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. I just had a vision of an angel. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. So it is, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants, his human servants, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Now, what does that tell you? They look good. They look good. It's the two types of wood. One's wheat, one's not, and they're growing up, and they look good. You can't tell them apart until they grow up. Until they grow up. And you say, oh, my God. And if you're not aware, then they've caused all sorts of damage. They've caused all sorts of damage. So God is warning us that this is happening. Again, we say, how could that happen? How many times have you said that? How could that happen? You need to change your thing. Change your whole thing. That's what's going to happen. Be surprised if it doesn't happen. Okay? It's going to happen. He's telling us. And see, this is just is, but he's telling us what is going on here. Okay? So here you have this section where he uses the word disguise three times for disguise. Disguising Satan himself is disguising. He's not presenting who he is. Who he is. He's not saying this is who he is. He's disguising himself. He's disguising himself. And so that's the reason you're called to be wise and to be discerning. Wise and discerning. So when he disguises himself, it's deception, trickery, and a fake. But it looks like the real thing. Now, you can tell, if you know Scripture, that wait a minute, things aren't adding up. You know, so you can start reading that, and it's like these teachers should be judged more strictly. And rightly so. Rightly so. Y'all give me a lot of grace. As a teacher, and I thank you for that. But don't give me much. And I don't have a problem. I really don't have a problem. Somebody said, listen, I don't know about that. Explain this to me. Where you come? And if I can't go back to Scripture. Now, there's a lot of things I don't know. There's not any teacher that knows everything. Okay? That's an issue. Okay, issue. That reminds me of a guy in this area, preacher, stood up. And it's the one Jim Jones, it was in this area, held up the Bible. He said, you don't need to read this. You need to pay attention to me. That's all he said. That's all. That's your last Sunday in that church. Don't even say, well, I misspoke. No, you spoke. You can never unspeak that. You see what I'm saying? Strict judgment. So anyway, biblical teachers are protectors. And so that's what happened. Thus, they will be judged more strictly. And I'm going to add this. And should be. And they should be judged more strictly. But God's warning you. You're going to be judged more strictly. Biblical teachers are responsible to teach and stand on the inerrant, God-breathed Word of God, the Holy Bible. That's what they do. That's what they do. Listen to this. I love this verse. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. 2:15. Says this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is he doing? He's rightly dividing the word of truth. He's not on XYZ over here trying to convince you with some other literary influence. No, he's rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? And if you get over in left field and work with some academic reasoning, you're leading people away from the truth. You stay on the scriptures, rightly divide the word of truth, and you bring people back to the truth, and that becomes your source, your foundation, and then you're okay. Amen? Now, the word here is so interesting. It says, do your best to show yourself approved. Just be trucking in that area, okay? Trucking out. Do your best to show yourself approved. It says, who does not need to be ashamed. You just got to love sentences like this. That's one word in the Greek. That's a translation of one word in the Greek. See, a teacher can tell you that. That's one word. But God speaks to you. You see what I'm saying? And you have to discern. So, who does not need to be ashamed? It says literally one word, and it's used only here in the New Testament. That's fascinating. And then here also it says rightly handling the word of truth. The word rightly handling is only used here in the Bible. So here too, one word. You know, so these two different words, they're only used here. So I think they're important. So it says rightly handling. And the meaning of rightly handling means holding a straight course. So when you see this, to show yourself approved, does not need to be ashamed, rightly holding a straight course. Of the scriptures. A straight course of the scriptures. Not something else. Everybody gets off on something else that's proven the Bible. No, the Bible proves something else. Don't reverse that. You got that? Read this and it proves the Bible. No, the Bible proves itself by the Spirit of God to you. It's the source. It's the foundation. And the rest of it may or may not help. Here you have the whole thought here, and literally, teachers make every effort to show themselves approved. That's not being put to shame by holding a straight course in the word of truth. Biblical teachers hold fast to the Bible. All God's people said, amen. You will not go off base. You will not go off base. I've shared this before, but I got to share it again. Our son, God bless him, he is 3 years old. I mentioned it before. We talk about that Jim Jones and just the horrific things in there. And people try to figure out the insanity. Well, you can't figure out insanity. Insanity is insanity. I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I read the Bible. I'm watching this thing on TV. Mitch is like, oh. And I'm watching it on TV. And what is this crazy stuff? And it shows him. Jim Jones holding up a Bible, and he says, don't you pay attention to this. He puts it on the floor and stomps on it. I only read the Bible one time. I said, that's wrong. And I get Mitch. He's 4 years old. And he had nobody else to preach to. And so I preached to Mitch, don't you ever believe anybody who stands on the Bible. Hey, Daddy, I promise I won't believe it. So me and Mitch would not follow Jim Jones because he did that one thing. Stay on the scriptures. You don't need all this. Stay on the scriptures and God will reveal everything to you. All God's people say, amen. Paul is encouraging biblical teachers to work hard teaching the Bible and also warning them about taking devious paths of deceiving interpretations. Oh, I've got a new interpretation. I've got a new view. I've got a new letter. It's nonsense. And this is what other people promote. They promote. Biblical teachers have one foundation, the Bible. Hey, you want to be an engineer? Go to engineering school. Hallelujah. You want to know the Bible? You study the Bible. You want to be a nurse? Go to nursing school. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to be a good walk with the Lord? Study the Bible. You see what I'm saying? And what it does, what Satan does, he uses these other things to take you off the scriptures. Things we don't understand. Well, therefore, I don't understand this whole thing. And I'll just pull this out because it's the truth. I don't know this whole thing about homosexuality and people in this lifestyle. They're such nice people. I just don't understand. Therefore, the Bible must be wrong. Satan's going, we got them, boys. Not that you are confused about homosexuality, but the fact that you said the Bible was wrong, because now the rest of it's wrong. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand all about that, but I know the Bible's right. You see the difference? Now, that's what you got to do. That is what you have to do in this world. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, other than this one fellow I know, Satan's smarter than you are. He's smarter than you are. He knows you don't have the answer about homosexuality. Now, he loses it on the scripture, so he can get you in someplace out and get you confused and wrapped around something so that you question the Bible. He wins. You question the Bible, he wins. You don't question the Bible, he loses. From a four-year-old to the father that didn't do nothing but read the Bible one time, you lose. Didn't have to explain nothing to me, except he said the Bible was wrong. I said, he's wrong. I couldn't explain anything, but he's wrong. Do you see where I'm getting at? And that's how you stand strong in this world. They'll say, let's get in this discussion about homosexuality. Hey, brother, I don't know anything about that. Man, I don't know. But I know what Jesus has said. And you know, Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. And Jesus was resurrected. And Jesus loved you. Jesus transformed you. I know that. That's all I know. You see what I'm saying? The church, you know, falls for Satan's trickery. For Satan's trickery. All he's doing, he's faking and he's tricking you. That's all he's doing. Excuse me. That's all he's doing. So, I want to say, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. Okay? to have the walk with the Lord. Now, if you want to explain everything in the world, that's hard. That's really hard. If you want to be as dumb as me and Mitch and say, just don't step on the Bible and trust Jesus, that's easy. But you got a choice. I personally think you're wasting your time and the rest of it. You know? I think it can be real easy. It seems like the scripture's saying it's easier than we think it is. The basic fundamental things. Don't go for deceiving interpretations. Then look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Now this is one you should remember. Everybody knows John 3:16. Okay, this is 2 Timothy 3:16. So you can help you remember that. Look at this. 2 Timothy 3:16. Biblical teachers have one foundation, the Bible. One foundation. And again, I found out and I looked where those who do not need to be ashamed. I read that someplace else when he was talking about the language and how the translation. So I actually did read something else. Okay? And that's good. But it was just something that helped me explain the translation of a word from the original. Well, that's good. Yeah, just went back to the original. Explain that. So the foundation, though, is the scriptures. The foundation is the scripture. Let's go back to Bill. In fact, there's whole C.S. Lewis, Bill Wright, whole group of people. And C.S. Lewis said this. Bill Wright said it. And Bill Wright was an engineer, and he was smart off the charts. And he said that he had Roman numerals stitched inside his eyes. Now, what he was saying, he said, that's just how I see stuff. You know, he's like that. He just incredible. He made this comment. He said, the only book in the world important enough to read is the Bible. C.S. Lewis says something very similar. Okay. Very similar. Now, what they're saying is, well, you don't want to read anything else. He goes, no, we just start here. Then everything flows out of it. You know. The people over here and over here, they'll argue with you forever and ever and ever about stuff that has nothing to do with salvation. And they will get you to a point where you will say, because you're not as smart as Satan, they'll get you to a point and you'll go, hath God said? Because you're not as smart as Satan. Homosexuality is wrong. Man, but this and this and this. And then you'll get to one point and you'll say, hath God said? Homosexual wasn't the issue. It's getting you to say, hath God said? See, people with these arguments get you to a point where they want you to say, hath God said? See, as long as you say, I said, I don't know about that, but I know what God said. See, and then what we read in this scripture says, you won't be ashamed. You won't be ashamed by rightly dividing the word. Amen? So powerful. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16. We need to go to seminary. We need to study this. We need to know all sorts, X, Y, and Z. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God. I have this thing, okay, with the scripture. Okay, I just do it. I do a lot of silly things, but I do it. I open the Bible. I literally believe the Bible is the breathed out word of God. I believe it with all my heart. I think I would stand up no matter what. You know, you couldn't get me to change my mind on that. I open the word. I believe it's the breathed out word of God. You know what I say when I open it up? I say, God, breathe on me. That's just my little thing. I open it up and say, God, breathe on me. See, I don't doubt what he says. Not one word. You know, Leviticus, we all talk about how hard it is. You know, I open that up and I say, God, breathe on me. You wrote this. There's a reason. Breathe on me. See? So your attitude, it's important what your attitude is. See, and I just want one, not too gifted, you know, but one of the things, I shouldn't say this before God, I'll be tested by it. I will not say, half God said. Not doing it. I will say, God, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't have a clue, God. And he goes, well, someday I'll show you. But I never say, hath he said. Okay. I just go, you're smarter than me and Satan. I'm just going to read it. Breathe on me. Just breathe on me. All scripture is breathed out by God. There should be an awe in the word that it just flows out like he's going, just like it opened up. There should be an awe like you open up the Bible and he goes, whew, like you can smell his breath. That's what it should be. That's the way you should read your Bible. Smell your breath. I have a clue what you said, but I smelled your breath in that. Maybe someday you'll reveal it to me. All scripture is breathed out, my God, and profitable for teaching. And profitable for teaching. God, I think I understand that. That's what you're telling me. All right, I'll speak that because you breathed it on me. I'll speak that. And maybe the Holy Spirit, as you touch people, it will give them some insight. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God, wait a minute, that who? That my neighbor, that my school teacher, that somebody else, that, no, it's who? Who's this to? Who's this to? Read it. Read verse 17. Who's this to? The man of God. That's who it's to. The man of God. See, it's not to anybody else, but God, my neighbor, doesn't get it. I didn't write it to him. I wrote it to you. But my teacher doesn't get this. It's because I didn't write it to her. I wrote it to you. You know, it's like he wrote his love letter to you. He didn't write a love letter to your teacher. You know, she can't understand your love letter. Fascinating. It's that the man of God may be complete. My teacher's not complete. Politicians aren't complete. Nope, never are going to be. But the man of God will be complete through the scripture. Be complete. But I don't know this. No, you don't need to know this. But you're complete. You'll be complete through the scriptures. Equipped for every good work. Equipped. Want to be a good nurse? Go to nursing school. But read the scripture because you'll be a better nurse. Fascinating. Biblical teachers should teach the breathed out word of God with conviction that originates from a hunger and a thirst for the word of God like Jeremiah. Read it? No, you should hunger and thirst. You have, it's the word of God. You have so much conviction. It's like, oh, you're just thirsting for it. Have you ever done that? You're just thirsting for a drink of the word of God. Like Jeremiah. Oh, by the way, you want to hear what Jeremiah did? Have overhead for this. Look at Jeremiah 15:16. He's talking to God. Jeremiah's talking to God. Your words were found, and I ate them. Oh, I gave me a 5 minutes. I'm out of here. That's not what Jeremiah did. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name. O Lord, God of hosts, you spoke to me. You spoke to me. Oh, I just ate every word of it. I just ate every word of it. other places says, I hunger and I thirst after your word. Hunger and your thirst. God requires teachers to hold the Bible in fearful awe when they teach. Now I could ask, do you believe that? I mean, God requires teachers to hold the Bible in fearful awe when they teach. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason I'm bringing that, because I could just make that up. Oh, man, Wallace is fired up. He just made that up. And, you know, I know he is, but, you know. But no, see, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you should be in fearful awe. You should be in fearful awe when you teach. And teach. Here's just one verse of many that just shows you should be in fearful awe. If you're getting anything out of it, if you're reading X, Y, Z, this, and asking everybody and their next door neighbor what's going on, you'll never get any place, you'll never grow. But if you go to the Bible and you fear and tremble before the Lord, all of a sudden God speaks to you. He speaks to you. Now look at Isaiah 66:2, and there's a bunch of verses. Isaiah 66:2. God said, now this is God says. We won't pay attention to what God says. God said, Wally didn't have nothing to do with this one. Nothing. God said, Isaiah 66:2, but this is the one whom I look. This is the one whom God looks at. This is the one whom I look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my words. He opens that book. He trembles at my word because it's the very God of the universe speaking to him. And he believes it's the very God of the universe speaking to him. So he trembles at his word. The Bible teaches. The Bible trembles at the scripture. It trembles at the scriptures. Shouldn't be many teachers. Shouldn't be many teachers. Because you're going to be held more strict. More strictly judged. The Bible teachers hunger and thirst for the Word of God should produce, should produce a deep concern for God's people. Have you ever been with anybody, hey, pastor, or hey, we're in the biblical world, so we'll talk about that, a pastor or a teacher and preach, and think, he don't care nothing about the people. You never thought about me. I'm just trusting you haven't, all right? But other than me, and if you have about me, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But have you ever seen somebody, you go, he don't care about those people. He didn't care. Until that guy didn't care. Evidently, he's asking for a lot of money. Evidently, he's broke, and he needs money. Have you ever seen that? You know, or evidently, they're having the building project, and he needs the money we need for that. You know, have you, I said, you know you have, okay? But what the Word does, when you tremble for God's Word, it produces a deep concern for God's people. You care about the people. You care about the people. A biblical teacher will have abundant joy knowing that those he has taught are doing well and walking in the truth. Absolute joy when the people that do well. You're excited about them, that they're doing well before the Lord. Period. Period. You're not worried about the building project. You're just happy that they're doing well with the Lord. And by the way, as you will learn, the group, well, you know this if you have kids. They grow up, they're all different. They all have different directions of going, different things, different powers, different, you know, giftings. And, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know. But you're excited for them in their gifting. You just want them to walk with the Lord and see what they do with power and authority, standing on the Word of God. Just like the Apostle John said in 3 John 4, it says this, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. A biblical teacher will be judged, will be more strictly judged by God, by the congregation, and by the world. That's what's going to happen. Be more strict. What you say, all three of them, what you say, God said, you really selfishly blew that. Congregation, I don't know if that's true. And the world will say, prove it. You know, you're going to be more strictly. Say one thing wrong, and we're going to hold it against you. We can build a whole editorial. So, therefore, there's a big therefore. So you won't be totally scared to that. Therefore, the teacher is bound to preach Christ crucified, the foundation of all truth. The Apostle Paul, in my opinion, the smartest, best Bible teacher the world has ever known. I don't think there was anything before him. I don't think there was anything after him. And he said this, 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And all God's people said, amen, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Oh my goodness, Lord, thank you for your word. We give you honor and glory that you have lifted your word. The Bible says you've lifted your word above all things. You've lifted your word above all things. So God, we should lift your word above all things. And that you'll speak to us and you'll guide us every step of our way. Every step of our way, God. We thank you that you transform. We thank you that through your Holy Spirit, who wrote the word that lives within us, will translate and speak to us and direct us in our lives, in every single situation, in our particular life, whatever we are doing. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you died for us and you bought us with your blood. You bought us with your blood. So God, I pray a blessing on each person, and we rejoice that we're saved in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.